Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us today. We are going to go today where it's nice and warm. I think it's warm. We're going to ask. It's warmer than here in Maine, where it's 9 degrees this morning where I live. Yes, it is. Okay. You heard me right. Okay. We're going to go to Spartanburg, South Carolina, and talk to their assistant superintendent of schools down there, Angela Hinton, along with their director of elementary and middle schools, Deanna Watson, okay, in the Spartanburg School District, and then the principal of the Carlisle-Foster's Grove. That sounds so cute. The Carlisle-Foster's Grove Elementary School, that's Kathy Garner. And we're going to talk about what school's been like for them this year, okay, how they have achieved success in using technology, in keeping student achievement, we hope, where they want it, what the challenges have been, what the successes have been, et cetera. From what I understand, my good friends over at Curriculum Associates put together this show for me. Okay, I got to thank them. All right, and they told me that you are going to, quote, you are going to love working with the folks from Spartanburg. So in about 2 minutes, I'm going to find out, but I have a feeling I am going to love them, and I think it's going to be a really, really interesting show. We're going to archive the show like we always do over at our Equity website, our consortium website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education. I hope my three guests and all of you listening go over there and join with us. It's free to K-12 educators to say your piece about equity. We're trying to create a place where the industry, all right, and the educators in pre-K-12 can get together and talk about it, come up with solutions that work. So please go over to ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. You'll see our magazine over there, which is Equity in Access. Okay, you'll love it. It's an online journal and all the other stuff we're doing. All right, so, okay, without any further pause, let me go over to my guests. And circling, and they're there. We'll start with Angela. Good morning, Angela. I'm Larry Jacobs.
Hey, Larry. Good morning. We're excited to be here. It's chilly in South Carolina, but not quite as chilly as in Maine. So we're excited to be here.
I had a feeling the trade-off is in summer when it's 190 degrees there and it's 70 degrees here. That's the trade-off.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, so but we Southern lady educators, we don't sweat. You know, we perspire, so we're all good.
Great line. You should immediately go sell T-shirts. Just do that. Yeah. Go on the web. Sell T-shirts. We don't sweat. We perspire. From Angela Hinton, everybody. Spartanburg Public Schools in South Carolina. That is funny. Dina, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I'm fine. Everybody say hello to Dina Watson, who's the director of elementary and middle schools down there at Spartanburg. Everything okay with you down there, Dina?
Yes, it is, and all's relative. I thought it was cold this morning, but I'm going to appreciate 30 degrees. It's not a problem.
There you go. we call that summertime. We go, wow, it's 30. Well, let's go out and sunbathe. Okay? We had that big nor'easter this weekend, too. It's funny the way people relate to weather. It really is. Kathy, are you there? Kathy Garner?
I am. I sure am.
I can.
So
right.
Same thing with Dina. I really appreciate this 34 degrees.
There you go. You guys are going to give your winter jackets away, okay, for Christmas to somebody who needs them. Now you know you can get along without them, okay? It's
exactly.
Like you know how warm it is at 34 degrees, okay? And by the way, I have to say, Kathy, all right, Carlisle-Foster's Grove Elementary School. That's a cute name, Carlisle-Foster. I like Foster's Grove. Cute. What is Foster's
Grove?
Yeah,
and if you were here, you would absolutely – yeah, the school is just as cute as the name. It's just we have some of the strongest staff members, teachers working here. Our parents and our students are just fantastic.
Oh, that's
Kathy,
nice to hear, Madam Principal.
Kathy, you have to tell him what's adjacent to the school, like that the kids get to see from the playground.
Yeah.
Yes, if you look from the playground, we really out of the cafeteria, you can see tips of mountains, but you can also see cows and just a beautiful, beautiful view. And especially when the sun is rising, it is just phenomenal.
That is just great. Is it like a big dairy farm right next door, or are these wild cows?
Yeah. And mating season's very interesting. So
I can only imagine. We won't get into that part right now. Right. Okay, we won't get into that right now, but that sounds like a lot of bull to me. Get it? Bull? Never mind.
No, I get it.
Some joke. Sorry about that. All right. Well, so the kids get this. We got to, before we get into the show, the kids get a view. The kids are how old? What grades?
I have 3-year-olds all the way up to our 4th grade class.
Hysterical. And they get to watch the cows making calves, right?
That's what you say. Look, the cows are dancing.
your fifth graders down there in Spartanburg, they must be the most worldly fifth graders in the world by the time they get to a fifth grade after that experience, that at Carlisle Forces Grove. That's hysterical.
Yeah, they're very prepared for life, and they're not only prepared, but they're very intelligent, smart kids. I'm just so proud of them.
They are your scholars. They are your scholars.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I know that.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that. They are. And before we get into the details, we just learned a little bit, mostly about cow mating. Okay, but tell us beyond cow mating, tell us about this Spartanburg. Give us the demographics of the district. I think your school a Title I school? Kathy?
No, sir. My school's not.
No, I had it listed here somewhere, and I just wanted to make sure. Oh, the Chesney Elementary in the district is an elementary.
Larry, that was the school I was at until this year, moving to director of elementary and middle-level education, Chesney Elementary. Our elementary schools range from probably 70% free and reduced lunch to about 40%. So we have, a very good plethora of dynamics and right. demographics.
And since we're on the subject, how was the sex education? How was it at Chesney? Was it as good as at Carlisle?
We didn't have
vivid.
Cows.
That's vivid at Carlisle. Right.
Yes. Well, I will have to say, though, Larry, we are a National Blue Ribbon School. We received that award last year. And, it's a combination of everything, with what's going on in the school and outside the school. So I do have to throw that in there as well.
I believe, that was Kathy, right? Was that Kathy?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's what I thought. Don't call me sir. That's a South Carolina thing. You have to call me Larry.
Okay, Larry, I'll do that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Congratulations on that. And the umbrella of the district, tell us about the district. How many schools, the demographics, usually the free and reduced lunch gives people a picture, that kind of thing.
Yes, sir. As Dina said, we
you
have
did it again with the
nine.
Sir. With the sir. Call
I know,
me Larry.
I do.
Just,
we can't
help. Yeah, go ahead.
We have 9 elementary schools, and 5 of them are deemed Title I. We have about 10,000, almost 600 students, and we have 2 beautiful lakes in our school district, and as Dina said, you can see the mountains within range, so just a beautiful place to live, to work, to raise children, and we're the 2nd fastest growing district in the state of South Carolina, and we attribute that to a great school district and a great place to live. We're near the I-85 and I-26, access here in the upstate. Yes.
That's cool. That's very, very good. I mean, it's and how would you define, and I always ask this because we're so involved with equity and that's so big this year, the diversity of the district. Okay.
Yes, we have our most impoverished school, if you will, is an international baccalaureate school, and they're a high-performing Title I school. We have been a part of raising the rigor and helping historically underserved populations to be in more AP and dual credit courses in our district. We have probably at least 30. Between 30 and 40 different cultures, nationalities represented in our district. We have a fast-growing ELL population.
Just what I asked you.
So we're all about equity in our students.
You sure are, and you said something before we get into the details here. You said something that's so important, all right? Your quote, raising the rigor. If we don't present kids with a rigorous curriculum, we always will be selling them short, okay? Kids will rise to the occasion, okay? They know how to learn. I say this a lot, and I don't care if anybody – it's an implicit bias. If we don't give these kids the rigorous curriculum they deserve so that they are ready to roll when the time comes. Do you agree, Angela?
Absolutely, and that really is our mantra. We don't have anything below college prep courses.
Wow.
Sometimes we have to help kids fill in the gaps, or to differentiate, you know, when they come to us and they have gaps. But we are all about, you know, raising the rigor for all students and helping them realize that they can achieve. And that's from pre-K on up. You know, we actually start celebrating their graduation and graduation year as soon as we get the kids, you know, in elementary school. So, yeah, we definitely are with you in that. And, you know, equity, diversity, you know, access to a great education for all kids.
And if I could add in to, Larry, this is Dina. One of our high schools, the three elementary schools that are feeders, all three of the elementary schools that feed into that high school are Title I. However, that high school, their SAT scores and their ACT scores are aligned with the national norms and also aligned and very competitive with our state, or in the top part of our state. And I think it has to do with us, of course, having interventions in place and safety nets in place for kids that are showing some struggle in reading or math. But it's also not forgetting that percent of that large percentage of our students that are above, are average or above average, making sure that we differentiate to push them and not just think, oh, they'll be fine, they're getting it, but making sure that they have rigor and that they have those goals to meet. And not forgetting
The challenge. That's the challenge. You just summed it up of teaching gifted kids. People make the assumption a gifted kid will learn anyway. Okay.
Right.
And that's not the way to do that. You you summed it up in a nutshell. I know we're not necessarily talking about gifted kid, but we're talking about your higher achieving kids. You can't take their learning for granted. You got to challenge them every step of the way. You folks down there really have this together. This is a very pleasing conversation to me. I'm going to issue an invitation. Please go over to our consortium website at ace-ed.org and join up with us. And let us tell your story. Get it in the magazine. Okay, beyond this podcast, and get you guys as members. We'd love, you're doing everything right, and that's the kind of school district we want. ace-ed.org. That's my plug for that, but I want you, three of you certainly, to do it. You can tell the whole staff. Okay?
Sure.
Right. Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you. I just hope you do it, okay, because it's really important to us to have quality educators like you in a quality district like yours with us, okay? That's a key thing for us. Talk about, and I think I'll go with Dina on this one, and you can pass it to either of the other ladies. What was a student achievement like in the district before COVID and in the current disaster, i.e. the pandemic? Okay, which, by the way, I know is bad in South Carolina. Okay, as certain pockets of South Carolina, I should say. Okay, and especially where there's African-American kids or lower income, it's affecting those people more. Okay, so what's going on with student achievement and attitude? Let me add that in there, in the current situation and from before.
Well, of course, when you say attitude, you know, there's fear. There's fear.
Yeah.
We are face-to-face.
Yeah.
Our model is face-to-face with the option of virtual. And at first, when school started, especially at the elementary and middle level, we had a large percentage of people that wanted to do virtual. But then we gave them the option at the end of the 9 weeks to come back face-to-face, and they just quickly realized that there's nothing that can replace having a teacher and having that relationship and having a teacher in front of you, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours a day. And so we did have, especially at the elementary level, about half of our population that were virtual came back face-to-face. So now we're just right at 300 elementary school students that are virtual. And we do have virtual teachers for them, but And it is something that those virtual teachers are tracking their student achievement. They're tracking through iReady. They're tracking through several different resources we're using. But it is a struggle. It is a struggle where you can't, you know, when there's not that proximity, or here, let me pull out these math manipulatives so I can show you what this problem means. You know, it's just not the best way early childhood, you know, when you can't be with your teacher. But we're doing everything we can to meet the needs of those students and provide the parents with support as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I say this to all educators, not just you three, just pat yourselves on the back. Nobody knew this was coming. Nobody was trained to do it. Very few districts had set up to do it, and we didn't shut down. We kept teaching the kids. It may not be 100%, but every educator would be patting themselves on the back, and I hope their communities are too, okay, patting them on the back, because it's really just something, and yet it's amazing. So you just brought it up, so I'll ask the question, okay? I'll just swing this. I mean, assume Kathy's using it, okay? The iReady program is a program from Curriculum Associates, right, Kathy? Are you guys using it over at Carlisle Foster's Grove?
Yes, sir. That is a real important tool that we're using.
She did the sir thing. We have to talk to her.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Larry.
That's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you, madam.
No, we are using it. We are a high-impact team, and we meet with our teachers each week, including administrators and our coaches. And when we create our lessons, we start with unpacking our standards, establishing our success criteria. And iReady is a big part of that. One of the favorite things that the teachers are able to use is the teacher toolbox because it has a lot of different things. And one thing in particular that they like are the cold passages because it creates and it has on grade level passages that you can rely on. It starts out with informational text, literary text, but it's standard specific. And it's also broken down into domains. So the teachers really like the support because it supports our state standards. And the teachers and the students are the drivers of their success, not just using iReady, that is a big part of it, but they can drive their success because teachers, they can adjust students' paths. And when we talked earlier about students that were high, medium, and that low levels, teachers can adjust students' paths based on that, which individualizes instruction and puts the student ownership of their own, you know, of their own learning in place. They can also assign certain lessons based on what they learn and know about their students. And so we, during our impact teams, definitely use that. With our math, they have the self-help videos, which are, you know, very much so helpful, not just for students, but also parents when they go home and they're using the iReady program. It helps parents, you know, as far as helping their own child. And then rigorous stations, during individualized or grouping, students are able to use some of those lessons, and they're based on student needs. They're based on state standards. And the one thing that we really like, too, is that everything in iReady, it's just a click away. I mean, you can look at your whole class. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was going to say, what would we do? This is these days. Think if this pandemic had hit in 1981. What would we have done? Okay, I mean, we would have cut down. I mean, there'd still be a paper business here in Maine. They would have needed so much paper. Okay, how we would have gotten it to the kids? Who the heck knows? I mean, it's just unbelievable the way technology has really shown itself, how important it is, okay, in what happened. What we would have been up against would be terrible. And all the things you're saying, Kathy, is just, you know, it's amazing. I was thinking the impact of technology is unbelievable. Let me ask you, with the iReady stuff, and I want to ask a couple more questions on that. Do you feel like your student achievement is as good this year? Are you able to control that and keep that high? Kathy,
we are in the process of the Sackett diagnostic, but what we're seeing with the classes that are finishing up is that the growth is very, very high. And, you know, we've already been in conversations, and I know that the teachers using iReady, they're using the data talk or the data chat.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah.
Data. It's so important.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, I know you're going to use the diagnostic, but you guys, believe me, intrinsically already know. Data is important, but teachers have this intuition. Okay, you'd know if it wasn't working. You'd know if it wasn't working well, and it is working well. Okay, and so that I guarantee you that diagnosis is going to back up exactly what you already more than likely know, and I think I'm right on that. Okay, I got to say this, and I'm going to go. Angela, let me ask you: are they using iReady through the district? You have 9 elementaries.
Yes. We're in iReady and all of our middle schools as well. So we are through 8. With iReady, and we actually used the diagnostic this year with ninth grade as well.
Wow, cool. Thank you. That's really excellent. And Jess, you're using it a lot. I just do want to ask you to do a favor for my friends at Curriculum Associates. Was the training on that? How was that? Was it hard for the teachers to understand it, or was it fairly easy?
Can I talk about that for just a second from the school level? This is Dina again.
Sure, Dina.
So I feel like in having 29 years as teacher, assistant principal, and principal, it was one of the most and it continues to be one of the most tailored to the school's needs professional development that I think I've been a part of in 29 years.
Wow.
Because some of our schools were a little further along with the high-impact teams, which are based on John Hattie's research about student assessment-capable learners and just understanding that, you know, kids knowing that learning continuum and being able to articulate where they are on the continuum based on the Powered standard. So the trainers would listen to the principal and continue to do so to see where are you guys as a school? What do you need more of? And the training would take place at my school over the past few years in small groups.
At Chesney.
That Kathy was talking about in our high-impact teams, in our TLTs, which are teacher learning teams, they would take place in small groups. So if it was second grade and they were struggling with, you know, peer assessments or self-assessments, here's some tools in the teacher toolbox that would be helpful for that, and that's what the trainer would do. Or if it was a grade level that had more new teachers, the trainer would back up and maybe talk more about how to use the data and the domains and that kind of thing. So I can honestly say it was one of the most tailored to our needs that I've seen as far as training and professional development.
And that's a very nice thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is Kathy. I was just going to say, and I like that it was ongoing. A lot of times, you know, you start a new program and you are trained at the beginning and everything else is going on, but with iReady, it's continuous and ongoing. So it's tailored, but it's ongoing. So when we need a specific thing, we can reach out and we have that support system, and we really appreciate that.
And
hey,
you know, Larry. I got to say something. Both of you love the iReady, and I'm thrilled about that because they're good friends of mine. And I know that product works and works well, believe me. So does most of education. So I appreciate your words. But the other thing I got to say, which is just coming out, you're not articulating it, but you are emotionally. You guys are both so proud of your schools, Chesney and Foster's Grove, and I can hear that in your voices. That's really nice. That's really nice. Okay.
Well, and I think collaboration is huge for our leadership as a district. I mean, we honestly work as a team, depend on each other, have group text messages, you know, and that's huge in this, especially in a pandemic, but in education in general.
Yep. It sure is. So this is just wonderful. I love all the great things you're saying. I want to talk about Chesney for a sec. Who was going to say something and go? Is that Angela? Somebody who's going to say something.
I was just going to say that I do believe, and I want this to come out as a key point for anyone listening. And I think that as a system, whether your district small or large, having key things in place, effective practices, and collaborative structures. Ours are high impact teaching and learning teams. But I will say that our pilot with iReady was really awesome. The data that we got, and we believe that some districts maybe don't get it in their first year, because the key for us was to couple iReady with differentiated strategies that we already had in place, like guided reading, guided math, You know, we've been focusing on differentiating and personalizing instruction for years. Then when you bring a tool like iReady into the hands of a teacher and an administrator who know how to use that in tandem, that's when you accelerate student achievement. And Kathy and Dina and really all the schools in our district have done an exceptional job with that. So I think that's the secret to using any great digital tool, and especially a great one that's as comprehensive as iReady.
Well, it's such a nice thing to say, and thank you. That's good advice. I have to ask you a question. This has been a real challenge this year. And, Angela, I'm going to ask you, again, your assistant superintendent, instructional services, okay? What was that? Did somebody play the harmonica just now? What was that?
You never know.
What was that?
That was at my school because I'm in my office with my door closed, and if someone comes to the front door, it alerts me, and the video shows their face.
Good.
So that I apologize for that, but that's what we're doing.
Don't apologize. I thought it was cute. We're doing a show with a school, so I think it's wonderful.
Yes.
It was cute, but I couldn't figure out what it was. It sounded like a harmonica. Okay. I wanted to ask you this, and this is a key thing. This year, they're talking about a lot of teachers retiring this year, okay, because all the challenges that are facing, it's time, you know, it's been tough, all right? But you still have first-year teachers coming in. You hired them, okay? Teachers left last year, okay? New teachers coming in. And actually, that's something, and I've done a couple of number of shows with the curriculum associates, okay? But I'm going to ask Angela this one. Angela, talk to me about, because again, you're the assistant superintendent of instructional services, first year teachers, okay? And I have to say this, most of them are not well trained in technology, etc., from where they're graduating. It's tough to be a first year teacher and make that triple tough this year, okay, for obvious reasons, okay? So talk about the impact of your technology, your attitudes, your iReady, okay, on first-year teachers and how it's helped them. And if you want to pass that to your other folks, that's fine too. But I'll ask Angela.
Sure. I'll start out and then I'll pass it on. I believe one of the keys is having, of course, our principals who are instructional leaders. That is key in our district.
Sure.
They go through professional development every month and take that back. Also, we have a dedicated reading and math coach in every school who also learn the technology programs that work in tandem with instruction, because it's about adding technology to enhance student achievement. So we have those folks who support those first-year teachers. They also have mentors in the district. They also have three of the instruction team members here, and Dina is one of those folks who work closely with the induction teachers. So they are very supported in many, many ways on many levels of learning the technology and the tools that we use in our district. We're very streamlined. We, like to have a dashboard of essential tools that work for certain things, whether it's communication, creativity, whatever it is that the students and teachers are working on, so that teachers aren't overwhelmed, with a million things being thrown at them. And Dina and Kathy certainly chime in, but I think that's pretty a good start of the layers of support.
And I was just going to add.
Ladies?
Go ahead, Kathy.
This is Kathy. I was just going to say, we talked about our high impact team cycle, and every week we meet as an instructional team with each grade level. And I think for first-year teachers, that is powerful, because what we do is we meet with our ELA team, our math team. We also integrate the science and social studies in what we do, but the coaches are there as we're unpacking the standards, creating the lessons, looking at the assessment and analyzing it and creating our action plan. And so then the conversation with our first-year teachers, as well as our teachers who've been around for a while, that is extremely powerful, because I even had a first-year teacher say, okay, tell me, I'm talking word for word, how you taught this, because your kids were successful, mine were not. tell me word for word exactly what you said, and I'm going to record you. And, you know, just having those conversations and having
that
support system in place is powerful for anybody, especially a first year. And our coaches also, if you're a first year, like Angela said, they have a mentor. They also are assigned a buddy. And then the coaches push in at the beginning of the year to heavily support them so that they start out in a very successful way. So just having those things and then weekly planning with those teachers every single week, and administrators are part of that process as well.
And Larry, one thing I've noticed.
Go ahead.
This is Dina. Watching our TLTs and our high-impact teams, when teachers bring student evidence or work evidence to our meetings, and we break those up in groups based on performance. You know, this group of students for this task are below, you know, the expectation. These are on expectations. These are above expectations. When you bring that as a new teacher to a high-impact team and you have a large number of students achieving the task or even exceeding the task, you automatically have the confidence to be a contributing person. And I've seen that numerous times to where how we do these impact teams has really leveled the playing ground. We don't just base expertise on the number of years that you've served. So it has given new teachers some empowerment because some of those fresh ideas are fantastic ideas. But for years and years and years, new teachers had mentors, yes, and that's very important. But they also had good ideas that maybe we didn't build on or maximize that we could have.
You are exactly right, and you're tapping into some good expertise there and sharing it with them, and you're making all your people, this is key, feel like professionals, that they are, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's important to make have them know that and understand that, and you have that mutual respect going up and down between the administration, either of the district or the schools, and the people in the classrooms and all those other people who are all part of it. Any teacher burnout going on this year? Angela, I'll ask you. You're kind of up there. Okay, Angela?
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's a daily thing, you know, as it is in any district. But, you know, I tell you, you know, if it is, they're hiding it well, because when I go into the classroom, you know, they're still doing the things they, you know, so
our teachers are heroes.
They're just absolute heroes.
They are. They are. I hope everybody in the community knows that. You know, there's something I want to tell you guys. I work a lot with the Johns Hopkins up in Baltimore, the Johns Hopkins Institute of Educational Policy, the Institute of Educational Policy. And they are firm believers that rigor builds equity. And I think you're the kind of district they would love to talk to as an example, okay? I can send you some more information on that if you like. But as we're talking here, I mean, we're talking Johns Hopkins. This is primo, and you guys are primo, okay? And maybe we should have a connection between South Carolina and Baltimore. They do interesting stuff, and they're right in line with what you guys are doing, that whole idea of rigor, okay? And you're just making it happen, okay? And I love this. One last question. This is a key question. Like every district, you have ELL students, I'm sure. Like every district, you have kids with special needs, I'm sure. You've got iReady, which is working well with everybody. How are the kids with those special needs that I just talked about, be they language needs or cognitive needs or whatever, how are we doing, and is the technology helping? And who wants to answer that one? Raise your hand, though I can't see it. I'll ask Dina. Yeah, Dina.
Okay, so yes, the technology is helping with our ELL students. And we've got, like we were talking about a few minutes ago, one of the IB school that we have, I think they have 21 languages in that school. It is very diverse, yes. And then we have other schools that have very small ELL populations. But with things like we have a parent communication tool called Seesaw, and it translates for us, and it also translates for students. We can track and video their reading developments and share the reading development and share that with parents, and that's been very huge through this pandemic as well. That that we have that one door that opens technology for all of our students. That, and many of our students are being raised by grandparents, you know, that are not as savvy with technology and different languages, and that language barrier is hard to understand, you know, what is for homework or what is, you know, the assignment, what does this mean? So we have all of our apps are housed in our Clever portal. So if you know how to go to Clever, you can open all the apps that you need. And also we've got that one communication tool that parents can even get on their phone, and that it is, we translate through CSOL. So I feel like those have been instrumental, because I think it was like Kathy said a few minutes ago, everything that we do in the building is detrimental, of course, but things that are going on outside of the building are just as important. So to make sure that our parents understand the apps, they understand how to use them, especially when kids have chosen or student parents have chosen for their child to be virtual during this time. So that's been very important for our ELL students.
Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, I was saying something. I had a cough for a second. I had my my microphone on mute for a second. You didn't hear what I said. I heard everything you said. Okay. What communication tool did you use? You mentioned a communication tool, and I'm always very interested in that. Do you know?
We're using CSOL. Yeah.
CSOL. Thank you.
CSOL.
Okay. And yeah, it's working well for parent communication.
It is working.
And all that sort of.
Very well. We have great analytics with them, so we can monitor
great.
Weekly. We get weekly reports of analytics. And, for instance,
I'll tell you, the parent communication these days, community communication, both, I have to say, internally and externally, is really, really key. I would love you guys, and you really have made an impression on me. I'm going to ask you, and I'll get back in touch with you, would you guys like to do an article for our magazine about the success you folks are having? I think it's fantastic, and it's all about equity
yeah.
and access. We would love
sure.
it.
I don't mind.
Okay,
sure.
Spotlight you. Yeah. We'll put the spotlight beyond the podcast on Spartanburg. SP, Spotlight on Spartanburg. I already have the title. Okay, it sounds good.
I tell you, Larry, I think that the more successes that you have in places throughout, you know, we've got to be a larger teaching and learning team and share that with each other, you know, so we'd love to.
Well, I'm going to be getting back to you guys today, and we're going to, or me or my the editor of our magazine, Maya, will be getting back to you. Okay, so, yeah, I would love this, because this is, you're just doing great stuff. Unfortunately, I could talk to you forever, but we got to go. We're running out of time. Have fun, okay? Keep doing it. Merry Christmas to Spartanburg. Santa will come, even if it's warm.
Yes.
Santa will come. He'll be wearing Bermuda shorts and a tank top, but he will be coming. Okay, so lots of weather.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay.
It was
thank
a
you,
pleasure,
ladies.
Larry. Thank you.
You guys are
so
terrific.
Much.
Thank you.
Right.
Have a good day. Have fun. And
you
and
too.
Go out. I may come down for the sex education down at Foster's Grove. Okay.
We have a lot of veterinarians around here.
Yeah.
Just wear your shorts.
It's one of all the kids who go to Foster's Grove become veterinarians. Nobody can explain that. It's one of the
that's
oddest
right.
things
that's
in education.
Right.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
What a great bunch of ladies. Are they terrific or what? Okay, that's Spartanburg School District. Angela Hinton, their assistant superintendent, Kathy Garner, who's the principal of Carlisle Foster's Grove Elementary, and Dina, who used to be at this incredible Title I school, which is called Chesney Elementary, and now it's still wonderful, but she's going on to become director of elementary and middle school. Spartanburg School District. We'll get this written up. This is cool stuff. We'll archive it all at ace-ed.org. We'll get their story over there. The American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. Join with us. It's free to educators, and see what we're doing. Read our magazine, etc. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. Ladies in Spartanburg and the folks at Curriculum Associates and my friend Ross Romano, thank you all. Have a good day.